All right, so let's pick up with the price over here at the bottom of Zeftarim and Bez with Reb Chiya. Reb Chiya said instead of Reb Oshia had expanded the list of Avos Nezikim from 4 to 13, Reb Oshia expands it even to 24. So Tani Reb Chiya, Asim Va'arba Avos Nezikim, which really takes us on a fast, you know, train through Ganshas over here throughout all of the payments, monetary payments that could possibly be discussed. Throughout Shisha Sidra Mishnah. But anyway, so the Gemara lists, enumerates the 24 Avos Nezikin of Reb Chiya, Tashlumei Kefel, Tashlumei Arba Chamisha, the double payment of a ganav if he sells or slaughters a Shor Chamar, so then he pays a 4 or 5, Veganav Vegazlan, the Karen payments, the primary payments of the ganav and the Gazlan, Ve'edim Zayimim, and the punishment of the Edim Zayimim, that they have to pay that which they attempted to inflict upon others, Ve'oines Ve'mafate, a rapist or one who seduces, who pays a penalty of chamishim kesef, aside from the damages that are caused by the act, umotzi shemra, someone who puts out a false rumor about a woman that she's not a psula, that there's a penalty of mea kesef to the father, v'metamea v'medamea v'memnasech, metamea is someone who takes your truma and he's metameit, midamea, or he takes your chulin and mixes truma into it, in which case you can't eat it, or menasech, I take your wine and I pour it before an avodah zarah. Even though generally we have a rule, ein adam oisa davar she'eino shelo, we mentioned earlier in the year, if I hate your squirrel, I can't bow down to it and therefore make it avodah zarah, which has to be destroyed, because ein adam oisa davar she'eino shelo. But if you do an act, if there's an activity involved, then it does become prohibited. So I take your one and I pour it before an avodah zarah. That would make it asur. Vahani tleisar, and the 13 that I mentioned by Reb Oshia, ha'esem v'arba, that's 24. Reb Oshia, my time ago, tani hani. Why didn't Reb Oshia list these as well? These are also monetary payments that are found in the Torah. B'memoina kamairi, b'knasa loy kamairi. Because he's discussing monetary payments as opposed to penalty payments. What is the difference between a penalty payment and a monetary payment? So monetary payment, Rashi tells us at the beginning of Hayamid Aleph, corresponds to that which you, the damage that you caused. A knas is an arbitrary payment that is leveled by the Torah, imposed by the Torah, that has nothing to do, does not correspond with the damage that you cause. So the Gemara asks, but ganav and gazan, the memoina who? Ganav and gazan are also memoina. They're the principal payment, this mammon. So listening, why didn't Reb Oshia list them as part of his 13? Hakatani le shemechinim v'al shayol. The Gemara says because he taught shemechinim and shayol, and if they use, misappropriate the item which they is in their care, they're considered to be a ganav and a gazan. Reb Chiya nami hatani le shemechinim v'al shayol. Reb Chiya, but he also taught shemechinim and shayol. So why did he have ganav and gazan? Now the Gemara turns to flips it. If shayol and shemechinim include ganav and gazan, because if you misappropriate it, you misuse it, you're a ganav or a gazan. Why does Reb Chiya have both of them? He took the 13 of Reb Oshia and he added ganav and gazan. They're already including shemechinim and shayol. So the Gemara says, Tani mamon nedaskal yad behatera, Tani mamon nedaskal yad beisur, because the shayol and the shemechinim came into your hand in a permissible fashion. Ganav and a gazan came into your hand in a prohibited fashion. So Gemara says, first of all, what's the primary difference? Okay, so the Gemara says, really, the great difference between Reb Oshia and Reb Chiya, so Reb Chiya included even knasos, as opposed to Reb Oshia that only included mammon. What's the primary difference between mammon and knas? Basically, mammon is, this is a difference in definition. Mammon corresponds to the damage that you caused. Knas is an arbitrary payment, more or less. It could be more or less than the damage that you caused, but not corresponding at all. That's a penalty that's leveled by the Torah. What's a primary difference? The Gemara is going to now discuss between Knas and Mammon. One major difference is whether Moida is Pater. If I admit it on my own, Moida b'Knas is Pater. Moida b'Mammon, if I admit that I owe a monetary amount on my own, then I have to pay. So if, let's say, I admit to stealing something in the middle of the cover of darkness where I'm a ganav, not a gazlan, and I admit it in court on my own, so I have to pay the principal, but I'm pater from the kefel. The kefel does not correspond to the money that I, to the damage that I caused. The principal amount would correspond. So moda bekeren would be chayiv, moda bekefel would be pater, moda beknas is pater. So I ask you, and Reb Oshia only listed mamon, not knas. Who lists nezek, damage that a person causes? One person hits another person. So we said there's a difference between adam dazik adam, adam dazik shar, but, so the Mishnah was talking about Adam Dazik Shor, a man hits an animal. What did Reb Oshia come to include? He also included Adam, Nezek, Tzar, Ripo, Yeshevis, and Boshes. So he is talking about an Adam, Dazik Adam. That's not in the additional 24 of Abchiyah, that's in the original 13 of Reb Oshia. So that means it's Mammon or Knas? Mammon. And so what should be the halacha if I admitted on my own in court, I assaulted so-and-so, Ploni, Almoni, so I should be obligated to pay on my own. The problem is, look at this Rambam. Rambam says in Perakei, V'chus Chayvel, Lo Chavav, Hoida HaChayvel Shul Chavel, I come to court and I admit that I assaulted you. Mishayim Chamisha Dvar, Shrei Edim Hayu Sham, Shenichnach L'Sach Yadar, because there were Edom there who saw us both walk into a brawl and this guy emerged damaged. But says the Rambam, Avalim lo hayusham Edom klal, there were no Edom at all. And I come to Beis Din to admit I have a guilty conscience, I can't sleep at night, that I assaulted so and so. So and so comes and he says, you assaulted me, and I come to court and I say, I did, even though I have no reason to do it because there's no witnesses there bearing down on me. I admit it in court. I'm pater, pater min ha-nezek, min ha-tzar. I'm chayev and shevis and boshes and ripoy. That makes sense. But I'm pater and nezek and tzar. V'fichach im kafar v'amar lo chavalti. Okay. So says the Ravid, why? Why is modeh b'nezek Potter, that's the damage that I caused. That's his literal loss in value on the market. So says the rival, lo yadati, lama potter me'elu. I don't know, why should it be potter and nezek and tzar? And the market mishnah goes even further, and he says, not just that I don't understand the reason, it's against the Hagemara. Hagemara says over here, in the Avdal Mabez, the Reb Oshia only included Mammon, he didn't include Knas. What's included in the enumerated in the list of Reb Oshia, which is Mammon, is Nezek, Tzar, Ripoy, Shevis, and Baishis. That's Mammon, a primary difference between Mammon and Knas. Is Mammon you pay based on your own admission, and Knas you don't? So how could the Rambam say that if I admit to assaulting you, I don't pay Nezek on my own admission? Everybody say, you hear the problem with Rambam? I mean, it's glaring. So in the Sefer called the Or HaLacha, the Or HaLacha was written by Rabbi Zevin. I think we mentioned it earlier in the year, Rabbi Yosef Zevin, the great Talmud Chacham in Eretz Yisrael, towards the beginning of HaKamas Medina in the 50s and the 60s. He was the original editor of the Encyclopedia Talmudist. And he was known for his great ability to collect sources, but this is always the great challenge, to know what to exclude. To collect sources nowadays, you know, we collect everything. There's no Chachma on that. That's unfortunately what happened to the Encyclopedia Talmudist. The first volumes, they're moving, they're going, they're chugging along. All of a sudden, they hit like a roadblock. Because now you have to know what to exclude, not only what to include. That was his great goyness. But anyway, he was a great goyness in many areas. So he has in his Sefer, L'Or HaLacha, he takes many topics and he explains them. L'Or HaLacha is one about one of Shakespeare's plays, L'Or HaLacha. So different things, L'Or HaLacha. So one of them is about this topic, but his suggestion is already found in the Chidushim of Reb Shmuel Rozovsky, who probably lived at a similar time to Reb Yosef Zevin. So they both suggest the following thing, which is a profound pshat in all of Hilchos Nizkei Adam. And that is Azoi. They say, look over here, in the Rambam Perek Av Hilchos Chayv Halacha Gimel, where everybody said, what's that halacha? I damage you. Ayin tachas ayin, shein tachas shein, regel tachas rogel. That if I knock out your eye, what should happen to me? My eye, I knock out your tooth, you should knock out my tooth. That's what it says in the Pasuk, you know, right? Eye for an eye. How did Chazal interpret it? Not that we actually take out the other guy's eye, but what? You pay money. The Vilna Gaon has a fantastic explanation, you have to know this. Ayin tachas ayin. If you look underneath the letters of the word ayin, ayin tachas ayin, so what comes under ayin is samach. What comes under yud? I'm sorry, ayin? Yeah, what comes under... We went the other way. Ayin, tachas, ayin. So is... What? Ayin is... up, sorry. Ayin, tachas, ayin. One up. Ayin becomes pei, yud becomes chaf, nun becomes samach, which is ICS kesef. So you go one letter above, ayin, tachas, ayin. One letter below, if your aleph base starts at aleph and then goes down to tav. So one letter below is the ICS of kesef. You have to pay money, not an eye for an eye. Okay, so you already found an allusion in the pasuk itself. But either way, Chazal interpreted it to be a monetary payment. What's pshat in this monetary payment? If it's a regular monetary payment, why does the Torah shroud it in this misleading, cryptic description, an eye for an eye? If you mean money, money, say money. Why does it say an eye for an eye? So if you look in the Rambam, you see something astounding. It says the Rambam, Perek Aleph, Hilchos Chayv, Halacha Gimel. The Rambam says, Zeh Shenemar B'Torah, Kasher Yiteh Mum Ba'adam, Kein Yinasein Bo. Just like you caused a wound in your friend, that's what we should do to you. It doesn't mean we're actually going to give you this wound that you gave to your friend. We should have done it. We should have inflicted the same damage upon the aggressor that was inflicted upon the victim. Nezek comes instead of that wound which we really should have inflicted upon the aggressor. Even though we can't take a redemptive payment to get you out of a chiyuv misa, if you kill somebody, you can't buy your way out of that. You can buy your way out of assault and battery. You can buy your way out, but you're redeeming your own limb. So if one guy chopped off his other friend's arm, we should have chopped off his arm. That goes on in, you know, different countries in the world. That's what we should have done. But Chazal interpreted otherwise. But that payment is a payment which is redeeming that aggressor's own limb. So therefore, says the Rambam, this is how these Achronim interpret it, that the Rambam says you're really not paying this fellow for his loss when you pay Nezek. What you're doing is redeeming your own limb. That doesn't correspond to the loss that you caused. That's a knas. And therefore, Moda, but knas potter, if a guy comes to Beis and admits that he battered his friend, he doesn't have to pay the loss of value in his friend. Why? That's the damage that you caused. That's the textbook mamon. The answer is no, because you're really not paying him for the damage. That you can't repair. What are you doing? You're really redeeming your own limb. In a certain sense, that's because the obligation of Tashlumei Nezek is kind of a redeeming of your own limb, and that itself does not correspond to the damage that you caused. That itself could be a knas, yeah.
So I'm a little bit confused by that, because would that mean that you have to pay how much your leg is worth compared to the guy's?
I really think what it means is you're supposed to have taken off your arm and given it to him. Ayin tachas ayin, you know, yad tachas yad. It really means that's what I should do. Because the obligation is really to make him whole again.
Right.
So if my wound would help him, that's what you'd be obligated to do. The Torah doesn't demand it because you can't do that for him. But that's what we should have done. Meaning if you could take out your limb and give it to, or you know, this fellow could take out his limb and give it to him and make him whole again, that's what you should do. Because that's the obligation of Tashlumei Nezikin, is not to pay him for his loss, but really to make him whole again.
Right.
So in a certain sense, when you pay Nezek, I'm not paying this guy for the damage that I caused. I'm redeeming my own limb because I really should have, if possible, taken it off myself and given it to him.
So what would you be paying?
For his loss. But I'm really redeeming my own arm. Even I'm redeeming my own leg because I should have taken it off and given it to him if I could have.
You're paying for the amount that his leg was worth.
Yes. You are, not because I owe you that, because I should have really taken off my own and given it to you.
But that seems a little bit like Hammurabi-ish, and that
it's like, draconian. I told you it was
just yeah. That I'm just taking off my leg because I hurt your leg. Therefore, I'm gonna like.
If I could, I would be. I should really be giving my own limb to this
fellow. For the purpose of taking off my leg, or for the purpose of giving it back to him.
To giving it to him.
So that if he had like if he already had a bad arm or like something was already he couldn't use it right. Who would you
I hear you. I don't want to get lost in the details, but that's the general concept.
Okay.
You're right. The details will become fuzzy. Yeah. But in the end of the day, what you're doing is really, when you pay him, you're paying to keep your own limb, which doesn't correspond to his loss. That's a knas. Therefore, the Rambam says, Moda b'knas potter. Yeah.
How does it work with, sorry though.
Yeah.
Well, it doesn't work with all of them. And why should Boshes be any different? It's a good question. That's why it's a whole piece in Reb Shmuel. But okay, but at least for the Nezek, this helps. I think you see the same notion over here as well. The Pasuk says in Parashat Mishpatim, Rak Shivto Yitain, V'Rapo Yirapay. I have to pay him for his lost wages and his medical bills. So says the Ramban, why doesn't it put it all together? Rak Shivto V'Rufu Aso Yitain. I should give him his lost wages and his medical bills. So the Ramban says, because I don't have to pay him money for his medical bills. He can't go to a doctor in our times, this is charged topic, but he can't go to a doctor and I have to pay his bills. I can send him to my own doctor and he'll heal him. But I pay the doctor directly. Lost wages I pay to him. But this, I pay to the doctor directly. Says Ramban, l'hagid sheyitin askar el harofim v'yirpeyu oso. V'lo yuchal litovo sheyitin lo askar v'hu yasebo dvarim acherim. It's not that I can give him money and he can do whatever he wants with it. Says Rabbi Yochanan, the Kovei Shurim, why not? Because my obligation of paying him his medical bills is to make him whole again. Is to, you know, fix what the damage that I caused. I don't owe you money because you have to go to a doctor. You obviously have the right choice to pick your own doctor, but I don't have to pay you money. Would you decide, you know what, I'm not going to fix this problem, like a guy who gets a dent in his car, I'll take the insurance payment and use it for something else. You can't do that. Here, you have to. It's only in order to make you whole. And if you're not going to make, if the guy's not going to be made whole, then I don't have to pay him. And therefore, says Rabbi Yochanan, if the guy dies in the interim, I'm off the hook for v'rapo yirape. The lost wages, that's a monetary payment, which I now have to pay to his inheritors. But the medical bills, that doesn't go to the inheritors. The primary obligation of paying v'rapo yirape is to make him whole. So therefore, over here as well, that's what should have occurred. I should have been able to take all my limb and give it to the person who got damaged. That's not possible. So but what I'm obligated to do then is redeem my own limb. That's not a monetary payment that I owe corresponds to the loss that I caused. It's more of a redemptive penalty. Therefore, the Rambam says, Amoy de Benezek is potter. Let's just touch on one other topic before we get to the two dots. Over here, the Gemara goes back and forth about a lot of inyanim. We're going to run out of time. But let's just deal with one other issue. The Gemara continues, Eidim Zaymimin de Mimonohu, but Eidim Zaymimin is Mimonah. That's a monetary payment which corresponds to the loss that you try to inflict. So listening, let it say it in the Brisa of Rabbi Oshia. Why is it only mentioned by Rabbi Chiyah? That's not a knas. Gemara says, no, it is a knas. Sevelor k'Rabbi Kiva de'omar ein mishalman al piatzman. They hold like Rabbi Kiva, that hold if the Edom Zoymimin come to Beis Din and admit that which they did, they do not have to pay. What do you mean they come to Beis Din and admit that which they did? So Rashi says, it means, I don't say, if Edom Zoymim came already, that made them Zoymim, they're guilty already. How could they admit it beforehand? And if it's before the Edom Zoymim came, are they really Edom Zoymim? So Rashi says, no, what happened was, they gave testimony in court that was false. Then Edom came and said, Imanu Ayisam, Vayisam Malkum, Vayisam Man, you were with us at that time, and you know, at that time in a different place. Then they ran to a different court and admitted that which they did before they were convicted in the original court. That's what Rashi says. Tysus Reed says more straightforward that no, they came to Beis and gave false testimony. And before the contradictory witnesses that said, Imanu Ayisam, Boisam Malkum, Boisam Man came forward, they admitted, hey, we gave false testimony. That's the more straightforward approach. Rashi obviously holds, you're not called Edom Zaymim just because you gave false testimony. You only called an Edom Zaymim when those Edom came, a second group, that contradicted your testimony. So therefore, Rashi doesn't say like the Tosfos read. You're not considered to be Edom Zaymim until the second group comes. Fine, but the second group came. Before you could be convicted in this court, you ran to another court. So it's a knas. But 1 minute. If they didn't actually carry out your testimony yet, because we said, you know, if they already carried it out, so then kasha zama, velo kasha asa, you're only obligated for that which you intended to inflict the harm. Not for that which actually got carried out. That was our discussion last time. So why is this mentioned amongst the list of the 24 Avos Nezikin? So that's why we explained last time. That's why Tosfos said we're talking about money that you inflicted. And by money, that's an exception to the rule of kasha zama velo kasha asa. Even though normally it's only the damage you intended to cause, not what you actually caused. By monetary payments is an exception. Either because you could return it, or because by money we say onshin mamon min adin. You remember, Rabbi? So we had that long discussion last time. But look at the Rashba here, says something astounding again. Two astounding things, which you would not have imagined. Says the Rashba, no. Eidim zoymim mona hu lisni. Even if they hadn't actually been obligated in the money yet, meaning they had not convicted this guy to make him pay money. I gave testimony in court. Before I could finish my testimony, other witnesses come and say, you were with us in another place, another time. How could you possibly have given this testimony? It makes me into an Eidzom. I didn't obligate him to pay yet. Then why am I considered a mazik? If the defendant wasn't made obligated to pay, was not convicted, how could I even be a mazik? That's why Tysus was forced to say, we're talking about he already paid, but by money we say kasher, we don't apply the rule of kasher. Rashba says no. Da filo lo shilem. Kari le memona, mishum da asu la afsude memona. You wanted to make this guy pay, so you already considered to be a mazik. Why? But he didn't pay. Where's the hezek? Where's the damage? So look at Rabbi Chanan explains this Rashba in a fantastic way. He says, no, the Rashba understood that Edim Zomamim take the place of the defendant. What Kasher Zomam Lasos La'achiv tells us is that they take the place of the defendant. They become like the defendant himself. You tried to put this guy in the hot seat, now you're in the hot seat. You tried to make him pay money, now we're going to make you pay the same money. So says the Rebbe Chanan, "V'zeh yosh lo seis tam l'man d'amar avoid edim zoyimim emona hu." Why is an edim zoyimim considered emona? L'chor hu tema harei kol mesham yosam mashu hizik hu knas. You didn't make the guy pay anything. How could it be mamon and not knas? Rebbe Kiva says molde be edim zoyimim is potter, it's a knas. But we don't hold like that. We hold molde is a chayiv, it's mamon. But how could it be even part of the nezikin? You didn't obligate the guy to pay any money. He says, no. What damage was caused at all? The guy didn't pay yet. Says Rabbi Chanan, no. They're not obligated because they made this guy pay. We make them obligated in the obligation they attempted to impose on somebody else. It's literally a swap. Meaning, so the Edom Zomim have to pay Tashlume Nezek as Mamon, not because of the harm they inflicted on Reuven, but because we placed them in the seat of Reuven, in the shoes of Reuven. You tried to make him pay, we'll make you pay. So it's because of the attempt, not because of that the harm that they actually inflicted. So the cave and chase on Nidon Hayamamon Velo Knas, since compared to this fellow, it was going to be a monetary payment and not a penalty. Once it's adjudicated by a beis din, it becomes an informal monetary payment. So over here, it's mamon, it's considered hezek. Meaning the pshat in Edom Zomim is not that because of the harm you tried to inflict upon him, so we inflict it upon you. We actually swap one for the other. You're considered in the same place as Reuven. So you tried to make him pay money, we're going to make you pay money. And that's considered a hezek. You tried to make him be mazik him, we're going to be mazik you. Even though he hasn't actually paid yet. Reuven doesn't have to pay anything. It's all because of the attempt. We swap Reuven out for you. That's the pshat in Edom Zomim. Yeah.
Are we saying that, meaning they're trying to pay back a mamona in case, what if they're making him pay a knas? Like, what if they say?
So then Taisa says, that the Rashba says also, that's also a monetary payment, because once it's formalized in a beis, then it becomes money that you have to pay. So you tried to formalize a monetary payment, we're going to formalize upon you. One final thought is that if you get all the way to the two dots, which Amir just said, everybody said, try and get to the two dots. There's one final thing. The Gemara says, according to Rabbi Avo, why are these all called avos? They're all called avos l'shalem mimeitav. You have to pay from the best of your properties, which is unique to Nezikin. A loan can pay back from Ziboris. Ksuba can be paid from Beninus. We're going to get heavily involved in these things. And the best of your properties, the middle of your properties, the worst of your properties. Nezikin all pays from Idis, from the best of properties. And all of these are avos Nezikin, not because there are toldos, but l'shalem mimeitav. So Taisus raises the issue, what about Edom Zomamim, that tried to make somebody else pay from Beinonis? They say he didn't pay the Ksuba, and he already did. Ksuba is paid from Beinonis. So do the Edom Zomamim pay Beinonis? Or since they're a Mazik, they pay Idis, the best of the properties, the Meitav. So Taisus, try and see it, over here, Divrei Maskil Tachas Nesina. Taisus says you pay from Meitav. Edom Zomamim are a Mazik. They made you pay? Now we're going to make them pay. But it's only when they actually inflicted harm, when they made you pay. But they made you pay. Now you're a mazik. The Rashba says, no. They tried to make this people pay from Beinonis. We make them pay from Beinonis. Why? But they're one of the Avos Nezik, and why shouldn't they pay from Idis? So I'll tell you why. I think it's the same pshat as Rabbi Chanan. The Rashba hears Lashitaso again. Because the pshat Edom Zomim is not that they're a mazik because they made Reuven pay. In which case, you already have to inflict harm. And we have to come on to the idea that we don't imply kasher zamo or kasher osa to money. According to Rashba, we don't have to inflict any harm. We just swap one for the other. The Eidim gets swapped for the defendant. So if that's the case, even if they haven't made him actually pay, you try to make him pay, we're going to make you pay, even though you haven't made him pay yet. You're a mazik. So it's about the attempt, not about the harm that you actually inflicted. So if that's the case, we actually swap one for the other. So you tried to make him pay bainanus, we're going to make you pay bainanus. Even though others who cause damage have to pay metav, here you're going to pay from the middle property because we just swap one in for the other. You hear everybody say? My own suggestion, I don't know. Take it or leave it. Mitzvah, next week we're going to stop for Chazara. We'll talk about that a little bit more next week. And after that, we'll continue on from this to the two dots. So try and get up to the two dots. See the traces at the bottom.